Well, as the children are heading down, during one Super Bowl, there was a commercial. I always loved the commercials on Super Bowl. FedEx ran a commercial that was a spoof out of the movie Castaway. I don't know if you remember the movie Castaway, where Tom Hanks was a FedEx employee who the plane crashed on a deserted island. And he had this one package that he watched over. Okay, this is the commercial. This one package, after 5 years being stranded on a desert island, he goes to the lady's house. He's finally rescued. He goes to the lady's house and he explains that he survived 5 years on a deserted island. And during the whole time, he kept a package in order to deliver this package to her. She gives a simple thank you. But he is curious about what was in the package that he protected for many, many years. He says, "May I ask, what was in this package after all?" She opens it and shows him the contents of the package, saying, "Oh, nothing really. Just a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds." That's all that was in there. But like the contents in this package, the resources for growth and strength available for each one of us as a Christian, but we don't always take advantage of what we have in Christ. So turn with me to Hebrews 5, if you would. So all that was available to him, and it went unused because he didn't open the package on that island. Seems like a tragedy. But it's the same way in our spiritual walk today. We have so much available for us in Jesus that we don't claim. I am convicted that there is so much more power available to me in Jesus that I haven't claimed for my life. I know it will be a lifetime of growing in the knowledge and practice and power and walking in Jesus, and I'll still continue to grow more and more, no matter how old I get. But let's read Hebrews 5:11 through 6:3. It says, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal punishment. And God permitting, we will do so." I'm going to stop right there. First thing I want to see today is do not stay an infant. Do not stay an infant. Why is it that two people can read the same Bible or listen to the same sermon and one is thrilled and the other is bored by it? In today's study, we see the author directly confronts Christian believers that this is exactly what they are doing spiritually. They are not growing up in their faith. Even though they confess that they have been Christian for many years, they are still babies when it comes to the knowledge and the truth of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, we too need to crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. And just as baby grows through taking in the nourishment, we too will grow spiritually as we take in nourishment. We grow up as we crave the milk. To grow, you have to partake. But you don't stay there forever. You don't stay with milk forever. Today, Is that what you want? Do you want milk all the time? Would that be good enough for you to have milk all the time? Or if I offered you tacos, hamburgers, pizza, was there ever a time you couldn't eat that? When you were little, you weren't able to eat that. Do you want to go back to that? Wouldn't it be weird if we had a church carry-in and we saw someone over there that's an older adult drinking from a bottle? That'd be a little strange, wouldn't it? That'd be unnatural. Well, we're limiting nourishment. Many people want just enough to survive on. Milk is okay for babies, but when we become mature, we need additional nutrients. As you mature and grow, you need to eat more. Who do you think consumes more calories? A swimmer, say, like Michael Phelps, or a baby? Well, Michael Phelps, I don't know if you remember Michael Phelps, a great swimmer in the Olympics. But how many calories are we supposed to eat per day? About 1,500 to 2,000 a day. Well, Michael Phelps, when he was training for the Olympics, did 3,500 calories per day. Because why did he have so much? Because he was swimming. He was working. Building muscle, getting stronger. So, you know, if a church is healthy, you know, there will always be immature people in the church. If we are always bringing new people in, and new people are always being saved, we should expect to always see people that need to learn a lot more in the faith. That's not the problem. That's a blessing, to have new people coming in that need to be fed. The problem comes when people refuse to grow up, refuse to get mature in their faith in Christ. He's not writing to people who have room for improvement. That's all of us. We all have room for improvement. He's writing to people who refuse to grow up and take their faith serious. I've been in church all my life. I'm good enough. The goal is to grow so that we can move from being milk drinkers to meat eaters. Sorry for our apologies to our vegans out there. But Paul had some concerns for the Corinth church regarding this. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." The Corinth church were still infants in their faith. They were infant Christians in every congregation. It is tragic that there are people who have been members of the church and have been saved for years and years and still go around just acting like babies. They have nothing to contribute but little baby talk. All they want is to be burped periodically. They want to have their way, basically. The writer of the book of Hebrews grieves over the spiritual immaturity of the people he was writing to. You know, some people grow quick in the Christian faith. Others grow slow. And some choose not to grow at all. They are simply unwilling to put aside attitudes and actions that go against the will of God. They do not allow the Holy Spirit to work in them and to teach them and to have Christ come in and change them. A baby Christian does not feed themselves. They are always dependent on someone else feeding them. You know, just like an infant, you don't say to a three-year-old baby, "Get the bottle yourself. Feed yourself. I'm tired of doing it." It is natural that we have to feed an infant. It is natural that you have to feed a new believer, an infant in Christ. We have to feed a new believer in Christ. But after years of claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the only time that you are being fed is on church on Sunday morning. You have to start to wonder what's going on. Where is your growth that you have to be fed on Sunday mornings, each Sunday morning? I can't feed myself. Someone else has got to feed me the Word of God. We need to learn to feed ourselves in the Bible and through prayer during the week. How many of you would love to eat just one time a week? Anybody would like to eat just one time a week? That would not be good. But that's how many Christians only feast on the Word of God one time a week at church. And they don't pick up the Bible the rest of the week. There are many Christians today that are spiritually malnourished in their faith. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, "Therefore let us move beyond elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death and to the faith in God." Now, the English translation makes it sound like spiritual maturity is something that we do ourselves. We make ourselves grow. But you can't make yourself grow any more than a baby can make themselves grow. Actually, in the original language in which this is written, the verb is passive. That means the subject is acted upon, not doing the acting. It's not that we must, in our own effort, go on to maturity, but that we must let ourselves be moved on to maturity. Or we must not let ourselves be, we must be let ourselves be carried on to adulthood. You see, growth is not something that we do by ourselves. We don't do it by ourselves. It's something that happens to you if you eat right and you exercise. So you partake in that, but it happens naturally. That's also the way you grow spiritually. You don't make yourself grow to become like Christ. Christ carries you on to spiritual maturity as you live your life dependent upon Him. Christ causes you to grow in His image and as you consume His Word and exercise the principles of His Word in your everyday life. These are elementary doctrines of the Christian faith. They're teachings that even the newest Christians should know and practice. Repentance equals salvation. Turning from sin. We've got to have that. We've got to have repentance. We've got to have a turning from sin. There's baptism. There's dying to oneself. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm dead. I'm living for Christ. The laying on of hands, the healing, resurrection of the dead. If you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that is what makes our faith living. And finally, eternal judgment. Do we believe that there's going to be an eternal judgment? That is elementary. There is going to be a judgment for the living and the dead, for those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. This is basic Christianity, introductory level stuff, which every believer should know and practice. The problem is we get stuck at that level, the introductory stuff, that we don't move on and grow and move beyond that. I think most churches have lost the goal of what church is all about, to recreate teachers to become teachers, to make disciples to become disciples. Simply put, everyone should be growing to the point that they could adequately expound Scripture to family, friends, and co-workers. That everyone should be able to share the gospel with someone that they know. And verse 3 says, "And God permitting, we will do so." The only reason God would not permit further growth is that you're not ready for it yet. If you're not putting into the practice things that God has already revealed to you in His Word, then why will God reveal to you more in His Word that you're not going to carry out? The immature can only drink milk. The mature can enjoy steak. They can live on the deep things of God. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." You know, people come to our churches today. They come in, I think sometimes just to be entertained, to look for a feel-good sermon, to be told how good we really are deep down inside, but there is no desire to face truth of who we really are, to understand the deep teachings of Jesus, or to apply what we've learned through the study of God's Word. They are willing to come to church every now and then, but don't ask them to do much more than come to church. The Hebrews were not advancing as they should have been. They weren't slow to learn because they were having difficulties learning, but because they were choosing not to learn. He said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. This means they had the ability to grow and actually be at the place where they could be teaching others. But instead, they were still at the place where they still needed to hear the elementary truths of the gospel. They were getting lazy in their faith. As he warned in Hebrews 6:12, it says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. By reading and studying the Word, we become more knowledgeable in it. And the more we know the Word and the more we put it into practice, the more we're going to grow. As newborns, we take in basic and element things of the Bible. We feed on things like learning about prayer and the body of believers and the church and fellowship. We might move on to understanding about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. As time goes on, we start trying to understand some deeper things like the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. And we learn things like sanctification, justification, glorification, edification. We kind of grow into those things. There's a quote about the Bible that says, and I love this quote, the Bible's waters are deep enough where a scholar can't reach the bottom, yet shallow enough that a baby won't drown. I love that quote, that the Bible's waters are deep enough where a scholar can't reach the bottom, and yet shallow enough where a baby won't drown. There's something in there for everybody, for us to learn, but we're supposed to be growing. You know, for a baby or a scholar, we are to continue to grow in our faith. Well, the second thing I want us to look at here today is mature in faith by constant use. Mature in faith by constant use. Verse 14 in this passage says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Constant use. Do you hear that? Constant use. They have trained themselves. Those who practice God's Word are like athletes in a gym. They train. That's where athletes work out and exercise as part of their training. And that's what we need to do if we want to grow in our ability to distinguish between right and wrong. How do I distinguish right from wrong? I need to train myself in the Word of God. When you learn a new truth from God's Word, exercise it. Work on it. Work it out. Practice it until it all becomes second nature to us. Then determine the right thing to do in each and every situation becomes easier and easier as you work it out in your life. That's what spiritual maturity is all about. Gaining the wisdom to choose the good over the evil, the right over the wrong, the real over the fake. Maturity doesn't happen accidentally. I don't just accidentally become mature. It is the result of intentionally training. Just think about that. If you want to run a marathon, you got to go and start running. You got to run for a little bit. If you want to get a college degree, you got to start taking classes. If you want to lose weight, you have to diet and you have to exercise. If you want to be a mature Christian, you have to start training. You have to be in His Word and in prayer. For solid teaching is for full-grown adults who constantly use their minds and are thus able to discern right from wrong. and what teachings are good and what teachings are evil. It's easy to be fooled by people if we are not grounded in the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18 says, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these things." And listen to this. "His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore." So Peter expresses that some of Paul's writings were hard to understand. And it's easy for people who are unaware, unstable, and ungrounded in the Word of God to twist and distort these Scriptures to suit their own desires. Oh, this is what he means, and just to do whatever you want to do. You have to know the Scriptures and be grounded in them. As we apply the Word, we exercise our spiritual muscles and develop spiritual discernment. It is a characteristic of little children that lack discernment. A baby will put everything into its mouth. You notice that. A baby will put everything in its mouth, even though it's going to cause them to get sick a lot of times. An immature believer will listen to any preacher on the radio or television and not be able to identify whether or not he is rightly dividing the word. They're just going to listen, and they're going to take it in, and they're not going to know if it's true or false. When we become mature in the faith, we become stronger in the faith. We will less likely apt to be taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophies. We'll be wiser, more discerning, and we'll be in a position to teach others. Acts 17:11 says this, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." I love that passage of Scripture. They heard the Scriptures, they rejoiced in the Scriptures, but you know what they did? They went back to the Scriptures to make sure everything that Paul was saying was true. Was Paul, what are you saying? Was that true? Was what this person was saying, was that true? They went back to it. Some seem to expect the Word of God to hit them like a jolt of adrenaline each time they read it or study it. Although the jolt may hit us periodically, the benefits of God's Word act more like vitamins. Let me explain that. People who regularly take vitamins do so because of the long-term benefits, not because every time they take a vitamin, they swallow a pill, they find new strength. They don't find it right away. They have developed a habit of consistently taking vitamins because they have been told that in the long haul, vitamin supplements are going to have beneficial effect on their physical health, resistance to disease, and general well-being. Well, the same is true of reading the Bible. You know, at times, the Bible will have just a huge impact on us right away. There'll be like a whoa effect, kind of like a Red Bull, you know, just whoa, give us a little bit of energy. However, a lot of times, the real value lies in the cumulative effects that long-term exposure to God's Word will bring in our lives. It's studying God's Word today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. That's going to really impact our lives. Consider the difference between a strong and weak cup of tea. The same ingredients, water and tea bags, are used for them both. The difference is the strong cup of tea results from the tea bags immersed in the water longer, allowing the water more time to get into the tea and to tea to get into the water. The longer the steeping process, the stronger the cup of tea is going to be. In the same way, The length of time that we spend in God's Word will determine how deeply we get into it, and it gets into us. Just like the tea, the longer we're in the Word, the stronger that we're going to become. We need to mature in the faith through constant, daily use of God's Word. It is a constant growth. I never see in the Bible anywhere where the Bible says, "You have arrived. Stay where you're at. You don't need to grow anymore. You don't need to move forward." You know, a closed Bible doesn't do us any good. It can sit there on my shelf and never be read, and it's not going to help me at all. The Bible can have all authority in the world, but if I don't study the book and I just let it there, that authority is not coming onto me. And a quote that I read this week says, "An unread Bible is like food uneaten." Think about that. Food uneaten is not going to give you nutrients. Bible unread is not going to get you the power and strength that you need for your life. The application for today says, have a transforming faith. Have a transforming faith. When studying the Bible, we have to live out what we studied. The teaching of this book has to become part of an everyday life. Life transformation should be the end result or fruit of study. There are four ministers discussing the pros and cons of various Bible translations. Eventually, each stated that which version, in his opinion, was the best. The first minister said that he used the King James because he liked the old English and is what he grew up on. The second said he preferred the New American Standard Bible because it felt that it came nearer to the original Greek language and Hebrew text than all the others. The third minister said his favorite was the paraphrased Living Bible because his congregation was young and it related to them in a very practical way. All three men waited while the fourth minister sat silently. Finally, the minister said, "I guess when it comes to translations of the Bible, I like my dad's translations the best. He put the Word of God into practice every day. It was the most convincing translation I've ever seen." The best translation of the Bible is the one that's put into practice. That's the best translation of the Bible. I was reading in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk this week. Habakkuk was frustrated at the spiritually depravity life the people of God were living. He was frustrated to see the unholy living in God's people. God answered Habakkuk's prayer in an unusual way. God says, "I'm going to bring punishment upon God's people." And Habakkuk was like, "Yeah, that's why I knew you were going to do that." But then God says, "I'm going to bring the evil Babylonians to come and take them as prisoners away from Israel." Habakkuk kind of changed his tune there a little bit. Now, Habakkuk wasn't looking at the ungodliness of God's people, but how could God allow such a godless nation to do such an evil thing upon God's people? Listen to Habakkuk 1:13. It says, "Your eyes are too pure," this is Habakkuk, "your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" Habakkuk's complaint was, how could God allow the wicked to swallow up those who are more righteous than them? But understand this right here. God doesn't care that His people, God's people, were a little more righteous than the Babylonians. He wanted God's people to be more like Him. He wasn't saying, "I want them to be a little more righteous than the Babylonians." It's not about us Christians being a little more righteous than the world. It's about us becoming more like Jesus. We don't compare ourselves to the world. We compare ourselves to God. God sets a high bar for us on how we live our lives. He didn't say, I know it's tough, just do some good things here or there. No, he tells us to live a holy and pure life. Be sanctified. Be set apart. Live for the Lord. God will give you, Jesus will give you the power to live that life. The Israelites refused to listen to Habakkuk and the prophets like Jeremiah who warned them about their careless lifestyles. The prophets tried to warn them that their faith is not being lived out. It doesn't matter that you are better than 80% of the people in this world around you. What matters is you need to be in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 5:20, he says, For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that seems like a hard verse, because the Pharisees were known for their righteousness. They had a high thing of righteousness. They memorized scripture. They fasted twice as often as they needed to. They knew the Bible inside and out. It's hard to our righteousness needs to surpass theirs. You may be thinking, oh no, there's no way my righteousness can surpass theirs. But you read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, on our own, we can't be more righteous than the Pharisees, because it's not about memorizing more Bible verses or knowing the Bible inside and out and all the other. It's about taking on Jesus' righteousness. That we take on His righteousness. That's how we become more righteous than the Pharisees. This is the great trade of all trades. God placed upon Jesus all our sin. And He died upon the cross for our sin. And not only did He do that, but Jesus took His righteousness and He put His righteousness upon us. Wow. When God looks at us, when He looks at me, when He looks at you, He sees His Son, Jesus. We are completely righteous in God's sight because of Jesus if we are walking in the faith. Verse 13 says, Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not accustomed with the teaching about righteousness. An infant is not concerned about a lot of things. An infant is only concerned about, hey, feed me or change me. I'm wet or I'm hungry. Okay? An infant in Christ is really about how things affect them. I will come to church when I want to, and you better feed me, you better change me, it's all about me. You better play the songs I want to hear, you better preach the topic I want to hear about. They don't care about righteous living. I did enough to be saved. Let's get on with life. But a mature believer desires to live a holy, righteous life, a life that pleases God. You know, parents can only give good advice or put their children on the right track. The kids still have to choose for themselves whether or not they're going to choose Jesus Christ or not. The final forming of a person's character lies in their own decisions. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, right? Each person has to make up their own mind how they're going to follow Jesus. I can tell you that you need to grow in the Lord, but it's up to you to grow in the Lord. It's up to you to get along with Jesus and to feed yourself and to learn to pray. The church will help, but again, it's something that you got to do just not on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. The Apostle Paul has many prayers in the Bible where he's praying for the growth for God's people. But I want to kind of close with Ephesians 1:17-20, where it says, I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That's my prayer for you, that your eyes would be enlightened and your heart would be enlightened, your eyes would be open to see the power that you have in you and that you would grow into maturity. At this time, I'll ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. My question for you today, I got a couple questions. One is, are you an infant in Christ? Are you an infant in Christ that you need to be fed, but you can't feed yourself? That you only get fed on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night at Bible study? Or can you feed yourself throughout the week? And secondly, are you growing? No matter if we've been following Jesus for a week or whether we've been following him for 50 years, are you growing in your faith? Because let me tell you, there's no one here yet. There's no one here that's there yet, that's got it all. We still need to continue to grow. How do we grow? By constant use, we become mature in the faith. So let's stand and let's sing Just a Closer Walk with Jesus. That's my desire, a closer walk with him.